Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcast. Head on over to the website americaoutloud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. A lot of great writers and podcasts up on americaoutloud.com, and of course, you can find all the shows over at americaoutloud.com. We've got a lot to talk about, and a lot of it revolves around our current president of the United States, Joe Biden. A lot is going on in our country, including the rise in inflation. You notice when you go to the gas station, you're paying about at least 30, 40 cents a gallon, more at some places, depending on where you live. When you go to the grocery store, groceries are more than they've ever been. We are no longer energy independent. The Middle East is a disaster. You look at the border crisis, over 1.5 million illegals have immigrated here already this year, and China and Russia continue to be the ones who benefit and get ahead. Rob, how are you doing tonight, and what are your thoughts?
I don't know where to start tonight, Andrew. I'm doing great. Had my healthy cell to keep me energized and, you know, pumped up to protect my immune system. And I would say to all of you, if you would like to try Healthy Cell, go to healthycell.com. Use promo code OUTLOUD. You'll get 20% off of your first order. Andrew and I have been taking our Healthy Cell supplements. And man, Andrew, I got to say, I really do like the grape. I think it's great. Liquid gel that I take. The peach isn't bad. It's not a pill and it's not the tablet. It's all liquid. And all you have to do is to take it, pop it open, peel off the top, and slurp it down. It makes it so easy. So if you're on the run or if you're going to the gym, take it with you, put it in your gym bag. I like mine cold. I like mine chilled, chilly. So I always keep mine in my fridge, get up in the morning time, take it out, open it up, and I'm ready to go. So you guys want to try what we've been talking about, go to healthycell.com, use promo code OUTLOUD to get 20% off of your first order. Now, Andrew, to your question, your opening, the state of affairs, inflation, going to the gas pump. Thankfully, I don't have to go get gas. I'm glad about that. I live in New York City. I take the subway. But I can only imagine for those individuals living in middle America and having to fill up their tank. Even going to the supermarket, you look at the price of foods. I was there just the other day and I was going to make chicken wings. I'm like, okay, let's make some chicken wings or sit down, you know, bake them and whatnot and watch a couple of movies. And I was shocked at the price, $17 for all of, I think, 20 chicken wings. And just a month ago, it was only $10. Before then, when Trump was in office, it's like all of $7, $6. But the prices have now skyrocketed. Why is this? Even the price of a car, people are looking at that, and a gallon of milk and eggs. Everything, the price has increased. And we were told, oh, inflation, don't worry about it. It's not going to get here. But we were told a lot of things by Joe Biden's administration. We were told that we were going to get out of Afghanistan and it was going to be, you know, easy peasy. And as anything but that. Now, I don't know if you remember, Andrew, but we were told when Trump was in office that we were going to go into war with North Korea. Another war did not happen. If anything, we got respect from North Korea. We got respect from a lot of our adversaries. We got respect from terrorists. We got respect from the Taliban and ISIS. Kicked them off the planet. Iran, yeah, they tried something and we put fire on their butts and they stopped. But now, 8 months later, after Joe Biden took office, President Biden, and man, it seems as if though he has been in office for years. Now, people complained when Trump was in office and they said, oh, every day there's something new, but every day we were winning. And when we weren't winning, you had the liberal media and big tech creating drama about everything that he did. Oh, he got extra ice cream. Oh, he's out playing golf. Oh, he likes to walk out first and he doesn't let Melania go out first. Oh, he's doing this. Oh, he's doing that. That's all they had? Oh, his tweets, they're so mean. Why is he running policy on Twitter? But you guys are doing the same thing now. Well, everyone except for Joe Biden, because he's hidden in his basement somewhere. The other day, Andrew, when America was under attack in Afghanistan, I almost get choked up when I think about it. Joe Biden was vacationing, did not come out. He was hidden. When we found out that our troops were attacked in Kabul, Joe Biden took almost 5 or 6 hours to address the American people. And when he did, it seemed as if though he had just woken up from his nap or that he needed a nap. This is a man that they told us is a president. The man that they got together in dark rooms and decided, we'll keep him in the basement, we'll run his campaign, and then on election night, we'll say he won. Now, I know that we have a guest on tonight, Heather Robinson, a journalist, very good journalist at that. She says that she could see how people might have been turned off by Trump and voted for Joe Biden, not that they liked him, but they were just tired of Trump. Maybe that's possible. But I say to those people now, look at what you got. You were mad because of a few tweets, because you felt that, oh, he wasn't nice, he was being a bully. But now look at the embarrassment Joe Biden has brought up on America. Look at the embarrassment. Our enemies no longer fear us. Mm-hmm. Our allies are afraid. They're afraid of us. And I say afraid because they don't know if they can trust us. An article came out the other day that Israel stopped sharing information with us because they were afraid that Joe wouldn't know what to do with it. Look at the UK chastising Joe. Look at Germany. And what does the media say? Oh, no, no, they're okay with this. No, it's time to get real, and it's time to accept the fact that Joe has embarrassed us on the world stage. Let's just admit it, because only then can we move beyond it. Nancy Pelosi and her crew impeach Donald Trump not once but twice. And for what? Over a phone call, over a makeshift insurrection that the FBI is now saying there was no insurrection, but yet and still they're saying an insurrection. All lies. Who's going to protect us from these people? We can't look for the FBI to do it because unfortunately, and yes, I'm going to say it, they're corrupt. The Justice Department, corrupt. Now, I'm sure there are a few good men and women that sit behind the desk at the FBI and the Department of Justice. But their voices are silent because the people that are in control will not allow them to say anything. The people that are in control are running their own nefarious agendas. They have co-opted all of this and have turned it into this us versus them. Why? Because of their hate for Donald Trump. While our troops and our American citizens were being attacked in Afghanistan, we had our military officers still trying to push diversity in the military. You have Nancy Pelosi still going out trying to push, we want the women to come out first. What about the women in Afghanistan, as Colonel Julie Hall said? Who's going to stand up for them? We told them to stand up. We gave them freedom. And now we have abandoned them? What? Are you serious? In America? This is what we do? What about no man left behind? We should leave no one behind. But we have. And the only thing the liberal media can say and individuals on the left is that, well, you know, Donald Trump came up with this idea. Well, this is Donald Trump's fault. Well, Donald Trump came up with the idea of making certain that the illegal aliens stay in Mexico. Joe Biden came in and changed it. And he changed so many other things. So if he felt that the agreement that was signed in 2020, January, with the Afghanistanians wasn't good, all he had to do was change it. No one is saying that we shouldn't have left Afghanistan, that we shouldn't leave after 20 years. And now we're finding out that the generals were lying to every president from Bush, Obama, to Trump, saying that, oh, things are fine, things are working. Now we know that wasn't the case, because as soon as they would train these ragtag Afghanistanians and they got paid, boom, they would cut, they would go out, and then they would have to bring someone else in. So what does the media have to say? Oh, well, Donald Trump is going to do the same thing. Wrong. He had the deal, but he also told them, if you lay a hand on any American, we will blow you to kingdom come. And that's what people have got to get used to. As Colonel Julie Hall said, the army goes to fight and to kill, to achieve the mission and then come home. Not nation building, not building schools, not building water pipelines. That's for you to do. We get rid of the enemy and then you need to step up and do your job. And what does the president of Afghanistan do? He gets on a jet with a lot of money and he flies, as opposed to staying with his people. And if he was going to leave, why didn't he let some of the Afghanistanians leave with him? Shame, shame, shame. And it's time America wakes up and realize that our form of democracy, our form of government is not loved by people in these mountainous regions. We've got to accept it, because only then will we win. Heather, how are you tonight?
I'm okay, Rob. Good to see you guys. And it's a sad day for our country. 12 U.S. service members killed, I understand, 15 injured, 60 Afghans killed. I heard there are more U.S. troops killed today than in the entire year last year in Afghanistan. It's clearly been bungled. Terrible day for our country. Very sad.
It is very sad. I mean, and I just don't, as you guys can tell, like I said, I've taken my healthy cell, but I'm also fired up seeing what's happening. Someone said the other day that this is a left or a right thing. You know, we can't look at this through a political prism. I get it, but, and you guys can disagree, and I'm okay with that. I'm going to look at this through a political prism because elections have consequences. And when you put someone in office who should not be there, someone in office who has been there for nearly 40 plus years, and then you have a defense secretary to say that this person has been wrong on every foreign policy issue for the last 3 to 4 decades, that's telling. And we should be concerned. And not only that, you had a deceased senator, John McCain, come out on the House, on the Senate floor and say that Tony Blinken is a dangerous threat to Americans back in 2014. Wasn't anyone listening? You know, you got these people out there now coming out like, oh, you know, Joe has the best team. They're all diversified. They're black, they're white, they're green, they're purple, they're straight, they're mixed, they're bi, they're pan. They don't know what they are, but we're just living harmoniously. Where does that get you on the world stage? And then we found out not too long ago, I think it was back in February, that Joe's team, they were sending literature to Pakistanians saying that men can have babies and that you guys got to embrace them and that there could be different sexes. And yet they were taking the literature and burning it at the same time, taking our money. We have got to do better. As Trump said in one of his rallies, woke equals losers. Accept it and wake up. The country isn't the best, but we're not the worst. Racism exists, but it does not exist the way it will be existing now with this new CRT and everything else that we're pushing, this diversity and having one group to think that they're better than the next. Shame, shame, shame. What do you guys say?
Yeah, well said, Rob. What we've been seeing in our country is a disaster. And I think you have to look at it through a political lens. You just look at the way that the country is running since Joe Biden has taken office compared to when President Trump was in office. Everyone thought that the COVID-19 would go away if President Trump was no longer in office. But as we're seeing, it's still as much of a problem as it has ever been. And I don't know if there's any evidence that more of the population is vaccinated now than would have been under President Trump, or if the rates are any different than what they would have been under President Trump at this point. It's just a deadly disease. Yeah. I was saying that during President Trump, he is not to blame for this, but it's pretty much, we're still pretty much in the same situation. But you look at everything else under Joe Biden's watch, we're seeing inflation, which is the worst tax on the American people that you can have, because everyone has to deal with inflation. Everyone has to go to the grocery store and get groceries and have to pay more. Everybody has to travel and deal with more travel costs. So that's been a disaster. President Trump had things in order in the Middle East for the most part. I know he made the deal with the Taliban, but as Rob mentioned, I'd like to think that things would have went much differently with President Trump in office. He'd have been watching them like a hawk. At the moment they broke the agreement, he would have been there and done something about it, in my opinion. And then this border crisis has just been a complete disaster under the Biden-Harris administration. And we're probably going to end up seeing a lot of these terrorists end up migrating through our southern border now, since it is wide open. It's just shaping up as a disastrous first year for Joe Biden, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, I was just saying today, I thought this was supposed to be the Trump virus. Curious, isn't it, how it seems to continue to be a problem? All these people who invested so much emotion in attacking anyone who supported our former president, You know, I'm not suggesting that conservatives do this. I wouldn't, because I think we love the country too much. But how would they like it if we started writing all over their Facebook pages, how's your idiot president doing today? And how many Americans did his complete incompetence kill today? And how's the Biden virus going? And how about the fact that we can't get people to work because everybody's basically on the government dole, who many people who were working service jobs, and nobody sends back the check, you know, and the checks keep coming. So, you know, I mean, I don't mean to sound so bitter, guys, because, you know, I want the country to do well and I hope things turn around, but we've had so much selfishness, so much just complete self-centered concern for the self as opposed to the country from the left for several years now. And, you know, I mean, they got their puppet. I'm talking about Biden. They got their way. And, you know, it's tempting to just kind of disengage a little bit. But I am concerned for the country. I frankly, I'm a little surprised we haven't been hit here yet with a major terrorist attack. I think Biden is,
oh my gosh,
as a weak old man. You know, I think that President Trump, he was a leader. He was strong. He was unique and he wasn't perfect. But I think these dictators and terrorists were scared of him. I think they knew that, you know, there was only so far they could push it. I actually think some of them perceived him as crazy, which I didn't agree with that. But I think that actually worked in our country's favor in many ways.
I agree with you. Heather, mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. You know, we've talked about this before. And I think that a lot of them perceived him as being crazy. So they were hesitant to mm-hmm. act out. And that mm-hmm. probably worked, you know, on his behalf.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For all of us. You know, I mean, I don't think Trump was the terrible bully and certainly not the crazy person he was perceived and caricatured as by the left. But I think that they did such a huge propaganda job in creating that image of him as this volatile, insane, bullying lunatic that I think, yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of these people who would seize power around the world, they were cowed by it. And I think, you know, he was also just a stronger figure, a stronger leader. And I think that I don't think he was crazy at all. And I actually don't think he was very in any way bellicose or I mean, I don't think he was a warmonger. I think if anything, the opposite. I think Trump was probably among the more anti-war presidents. We know he had this goal. He wanted to bring the troops home. He didn't want a lot of foreign entanglements and adventures. However, I do believe he would have been smarter about it, probably. I think this is clearly a real major miscalculation. Mm. And it's also, you know, it does make you wonder. One friend of mine said recently, we've had troops in Germany and Japan for what is it now? 70 years, 70 plus years, right, since World War II. So if you look at it that way, I mean, not that we want our troops to have to be stationed in dangerous places, but I mean, you could have looked at keeping a certain number of troops. I think it was 2,500, which, you know, I mean, that's not really a huge number. Yeah. You know, you could look at it in that way as insurance and a way of stabilizing things. And I mean, when you consider it from that perspective, maybe it wouldn't have been such a big deal to keep troops in Afghanistan. You know, maybe, I mean, of course, I don't say that lightly. You know, it's a wonderful, serious commitment and a sacrifice for many individuals. But, you know, I think that maybe it wouldn't have been the end of the world, you know, to keep them there, certainly a while longer, maybe a lot longer. Maybe that should have been, you know, and I also heard that Biden was thinking about reversing this. Have you guys heard anything about that?
No, I hadn't heard about that, but you propose a interesting point as far as keeping the troops there. The only thing I would say about that, and I think, because a lot of people are thinking the same thing, but from just speaking with different military officials and individuals that have served in Iraq, Afghanistan, and overseas, I think that what many Americans miss, or individuals in the West, is understanding the culture in that region. And I'm speaking from experience, having lived with individuals, Muslims, different religions in that area, and their thought process. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm generalizing the situation or those individuals when I say this. But when you look at, like you said, we had troops in Germany, and we have them in South Korea and in Japan. The difference is that it's in the culture and the mindset. Unfortunately, a lot of the individuals in the Middle East, in countries like Pakistan and Iraq and Afghanistan, their culture and their mindset, or their frame of mind, is not where ours is. When the Renaissance took place, all these other countries moved forward. Unfortunately, those countries did not move forward. To this day, they have not moved forward. In their mindset, they have a backwards thinking process, if I could say that. And although we have shown them our democracy, how to prosper, the ability for them to comprehend it and to live with those parameters is foreign, and they don't want it. Because even when, and this is one of my biggest fears, is that if we bring them here, and there's 10,000 so far that have come here, for a while, they will be okay. But then the struggle that they will have to go through, trying to assimilate themselves, understanding the culture, understanding the language, the way we do things. Now, I know that a lot of people are saying, oh, where they're wearing the hijab, the women, the burqas are covered up, and they should take it off. If they were given the opportunity, they would take it off. Some of them will, but a majority of them feel comfortable with it on. I see some of them walking around New York. They have it on. They're covered. The only thing you see, the white in their eyes. In the dead of summer. No, they don't have to, but they feel more comfortable wearing it. So some would say, oh, where their husbands, they're oppressing them and they want them to wear it. Okay. But if they've been here for a decade or more, you would think they would say, okay, we don't have to wear this now. But they're most comfortable with it. So the point that I'm making is that us trying to go there and thinking that we're going to win them over with our kindness and our Western values and our freedom, it is a lost cause. It will never happen for 20 years. And then you look at other countries that have gone in. Russia went into Afghanistan and it failed. Now China is going to go in. I think China is going to take a different approach. You do what we say, or we're going to obliterate you. We'll see how that works. But for America to think that they should love us, look at what we're giving them, you're wrong. They don't. And when they do come here, like I said, for the beginning, couple of months, oh gosh, you saved us. We like it. But the struggle will ensue. And when they realize that, man, it is difficult to understand the language. It is difficult to try to get around. And look at the way they behave. Look at their kids. Their kids run around. Their kids, look at how their kids talk to their parents. Look at how the women dress. Oh, my God. And then the men. I mean, they will be bombarded with all this stuff. And on top of that, wokeism now. And then being told, well, men can have babies. And although that was a man, but today it's a woman. Or it was a woman and today it's a man. Do we actually think that they will be able to process all of this within that time frame? Absolutely not. Look at Ilhan Omar. Look at Rashida Tlaib. We helped them. We helped Ilhan Omar. We saved her from a destitute life in Somalia. And look at how she's repaying us. She has managed to go up the ranks and she's now on the Hill. And she's turning her back on us, in essence, attacking us with our very own policies. She gave a comment the other day on MSNBC saying, well, you know, the Americans don't want my kind to come here because they're afraid that we might show them up. What? What is your kind? You're an American. But this is her mindset. And then you have other Americans that are liberal that are sitting there saying, yeah, yucking it up. No, I don't know what's in her heart. I hope that she stands for the flag. But now, since we can just burn up the flag, don't care about saying the Pledge of Allegiance, who knows where her allegiance lies? And these are the people. And yes, I will say this, that we must keep our eyes on, because this is a different time. This is 2021. And we can no longer just say, oh, well, they're going to be okay. No, we can't. Because we have too many people embedded in this country now that wants to do us harm. And those 10,000 Afghanistanians that have come here, yes, we save them. Yes, we help them. But when the struggle comes into play, and they start looking back, well, this is what we did in my country. It is very difficult to change over. You think about your own religion. If someone tries to introduce a new religion to you or anything new that you haven't done all these years of your life, it is difficult to transfer over. So their mindset, and with everything that we're going to bombard them with, it will be a struggle. And I fear that this struggle will manifest itself and will work against us. Andrew, what do you say?
Yeah, very well said. And you have to wonder how many of these Afghan refugees they're going to bring over here and what the vetting process is going to be like for them. We don't want to bring terrorists into our own country by flying them here as refugees. That would be a very bad situation. And Rob, you were exactly right about they have a lot of problems assimilating to our culture. And I don't really want to go to the Middle East and try and change their culture either, because I don't like when other countries try and tell us how to live. So I don't want to do the same to them. We were attacked by Afghanistan in 2001. So going there was justified, in my opinion, in the first place. But yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts.
You know, guys, I maybe need to ask if we're talking about the Afghans who actually helped our troops. And I need to familiarize myself with exactly who's coming. But my feeling is that we should absolutely help the people who helped us, because we do know something about their values. We know they risked life and limb to stand with our service members. And to my way of thinking, they, more than any other refugees, are at least probably, I mean, their values are congruent. I mean, they cared to try to support democracy in a dangerous region. I think we know more about them, for instance, than we know about people who are just randomly crossing the southern border. I mean, unless I'm missing something, I mean, I think that in terms of prioritizing immigration status of people, I think people who've stood with us, who've tried to help our service members do our jobs, you know, I don't think we have anything to fear from them. I mean, to me, that's just kind of, that would be the logical thing to, you know, those are people that share our values, I think, for the most part, or else I don't know why they would have, you know, been risking their lives to support Americans' mission.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for Rob, but I think we don't think that we should help them out, but maybe resettle them in a country like Saudi Arabia or something, where they might have a easier time fitting in once they get there, and it's not as hostile of a situation as it is in America. It seems like we're always the ones that have to step up and save everyone. And yeah, we appreciate their help and everything. And
Okay. But I mean, at least these are people who stood with us. I mean, we're being pressured to take people pouring across the southern border who, you know, I'm sure there's hardship and suffering where they come from. And I empathize, I do. But we have absolutely no information about those people that I can tell. At least the Afghans, presumably the ones who are coming here. And again, I haven't really studied, but I'm presuming that those we are trying to help get here are the people who risk their lives to stand with us. And I personally have no problem bringing those people here. What I think is more, you know, dubious is this idea that we are responsible for anybody who illegally chooses to cross our border. I mean, that I you know, got a problem with. But I think that people who, you know, these Afghans, it sounds to me like they're legitimate asylum seekers. You know, at this point, with what's going on with the Taliban, there's a good chance they'll be killed or tortured if we don't get them here. So I support that. I think we should help them. And I think that's a matter of, you know, ethics for this country. You know, I think it would be deeply dishonorable to abandon them.
Yeah, we will continue this discussion. You're tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more from journalist Heather Robinson on After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As we celebrate our five-year anniversary, America Out Loud has expanded its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors, all carrying a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutLoud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
And we're back after Dark with Rob and Andrew, and our guest tonight is journalist Heather Robinson. When we went to break, we were having a discussion on the Afghanistanians that are coming here, or is it Afghanis that are coming here? We're rescuing from Afghanistan. I know that a lot of them helped us when we were there, or they've helped us for the past 20 years. I know that there are a lot of Christians that are there that we're trying to save and bring here. And I'm about to say my sound a bit controversial, but just from looking at this and hearing, and doing a lot of reading and hearing what some of our soldiers are saying about the individuals that are coming here, we definitely need to vet them. But the special visa that we're granting to them, I want to make certain that those visas aren't being abused, because from day one, when we, with the first attack, we're not attacked, when things started to go south and we saw on the plane those Afghanistanians that were there, I saw a majority of men, some women and some children, but I saw able-bodied men sitting in that plane, getting ready to come to America. As I said, the last hour, so far, 10,000 Afghanistanians are here. Now, they're not living in one area. They spread them out within the country. You know, it was only the Democrats would do, so they can, like, you know, try to finagle with the voting numbers, but that's neither here or there. But 10,000, that's more than the town that I grew up in Arkansas. Now, just imagine if you were to put them all together. You have a huge voting block right there, okay? Now, the vetting process, who they are, what exactly is the vetting process? How can we determine if these people mean us good or harm? What questions are we asking them? What can you ask them? Now, I know that a lot of them work alongside our soldiers, but as one soldier said, and he pointed out, is that there were many of them that worked alongside our soldiers, but at the same time, they would turn their back on them and sell them out. Those are the ones that I am concerned with, because some of them will not take up arm against their own brethren. Yeah, they'll give us information and say, this is the bad guy. But when it's time to pick up that weapon to defend, what I've been hearing is that a lot of them have been running out and saying, nope, don't want to do it. Yeah, they're bad, but I don't want to do it. You look at our country here, look at 9/11, and you look at the mosque that a lot of the attackers went to. And more recently, when we've unearthed potential attackers going to different mosques, and you have the FBI infiltrating the mosque and going in, and the rhetoric that they're preaching or teaching about Americans on our soil, that Americans are bad, they're the infidels. So yes, let them come. But we need to make certain that that vetting process is not just, do you love America? Do you want to come here? Yes. Okay, fine. Come on. Because to me, that's not good enough. I point to Ilhan Omar. Look at what she's doing on the Hill, attacking Israel, attacking Americans, saying that Americans are terrorists. Look at how they've switched this thing around, saying that the biggest concern we should have right now is domestic terrorism. And they define domestic terrorist as white people. Well, hello, look at the people that are coming from Afghanistan now. And if you dare say that, they will quickly say, oh, you're xenophobe. Oh, that's not right. Or you're singling them out. Yeah, but why are we singling out Americans? Why are we saying that they're white supremacists simply because they didn't want to vote for Joe Biden? Everyone that didn't vote for Joe Biden, white supremacist? You see, it just doesn't make any sense. But the narrative is being controlled by the media. It's being controlled by big tech. Look at Twitter. As far as I'm concerned, Twitter kicked me off. I'm glad they kicked me off now. I don't want to be on Twitter. Because to me, Twitter is a propaganda arm of the Taliban, a propaganda arm of the terrorist. Why is it that they're yet to kick off any of these people from the Taliban? And look at some of the things that they're saying. One guy gave an interview to, I think it was NBC, saying that bin Laden had nothing to do with 9/11. And then he took those same words and tweeted them out. And Twitter let it stand still. But if I were to go on and say that the election was stolen, oh, kick you off, you're off. But they can come on and see all this rhetoric. If our senators and Congress are concerned about us, they should shut down Twitter. Twitter is extremely dangerous. It is a recruiting ground for terrorists. But quiet as it's kept, doesn't happen. No one is saying anything. None of our judges, the Department of Justice, oh, they're looking the other way. But just allow one white person to go on there and say, Joe Biden shouldn't be president. We should take Joe Biden out. Oh my God, that's it. That person would be arrested. Look at the individuals from January 6th. Still in jail, no bond. What is their crime? And now they have some of them pleading guilty for trespassing. And look at the sentences. There's a guy from the Proud Boys. He's been sentenced for burning a BLM flag. Someone should have told him, burn the American flag and they'll support you. The country is in trouble. We have too many activist judges, activist lawyers. People are afraid to stand up. Because if they do, their livelihoods could be threatened or their families could be threatened. It should not be that way.
You know, one thing I wanted to mention, though, if I can, Rob and Andrew, in terms of the judges, I noticed there was one ruling that was, I think, sensible recently. I believe it was either yesterday or maybe the day before. I think the Supreme Court upheld the policy that requires asylum seekers to remain in Mexico while their cases are heard. And this is something I wrote about a while ago that had been changed during once Biden came to office and people were just pouring across the border. And I'm not sure exactly how it will influence what happens in the day to day, but I think that this policy of if you have a child with you, you get through in 3 days no matter what, which I wrote about a while ago. You guys may remember what I was hearing from Border Patrol and others was that it was incentivizing human traffickers and smugglers to use children to get in, this sort of thing. Anyway, hopefully this ruling, which requires people to wait on the Mexico side of the border if they're claiming asylum, hopefully I think will disincentivize this kind of abuse and use of children because it's going to make it harder, you know, to get into this country, not so seamless and quick. And hopefully you hope that people who legitimately have real asylum claims and are fearing for their lives, you know, there is a procedure and there is a process that exists for them to be heard. And one hopes that this will be humane and that it will, you know, allow for that without making it such a revolving door as it's been so that, you know, the wrong people are coming into the country and using children, et cetera, to get in. So I just wanted to say that was a Supreme Court ruling that is a good one, in my opinion, that has happened recently in the past couple of days, I think.
Right. I heard about that ruling. And then just to answer another question that we had talked about in the last segment, as far as us not knowing that the Afghanistanis are being vetted compared to the individuals that are coming from or entering in from the southern border. Because what we also have to consider and think about is that a lot of people that are coming in, they're not only just Mexicans, but they're coming in from other countries, from Africa, from the Middle East, and we've got to be able to vet them.
From China.
You know, so it's a double failure on Joe, and I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it, on Joe Biden's part, because Trump had handed him, he didn't hand it to him, Joe actually stole it, in my opinion, a process that was signed, sealed, with the bow. Joe and his woke folks came in and just obliterated it. We're going to take this back. We're going to change this. We're going to change that because this is racist. That's racist. And they did it all under the guise of it being racist. Look at everything that they changed. All of it. It was racist. It was this. And now look at what the racism has gotten us. Look at where it's gotten us. We were so busy looking for white supremacists, which probably make up like all of, I would say, 5,000 individuals in the United States, if that compared to the terrorists that are coming in our door, but they managed to use that as a proxy to say that if you are a Republican, you are bad and you need to change. And if you don't change, you better be quiet because we're going to label you. That is all MSNBC, Joy Reid talks about nonstop all the time. And of all people, to talk about racism, of all people, to talk about segregation, to talk about human rights. Joy Reid, a woman who tweeted homophobic tweets and then lied about it and said that someone went in and stole her password. And to this day, she's yet to confess or yet to apologize. And now all at once, she's woke. She's a guru. We go to her for all of our answers. And then you have fake news CNN, the exact same thing. And then the generals that they keep marching up there that agree with them. Oh, yeah, you know, this it should have been this way. And Trump, he calls this and you got to let people in at the border. You got to let this. You got to let that. They say these things because they're not affected by it. They live in a glass house up on the hill looking down at us and telling us, figure it out. We'll take away all the laws. Just figure it out for yourselves. And then we're left here trying to put the pieces together and a puzzle that they created whose parts won't fit. And they won't fit because people reject them. People cannot agree on the same thing. But I hope to God that one thing we need to agree on is that Joe Biden's administration needs to step down. They need to be removed. I know there's nothing in the Constitution that says that can happen. Because if you think about it, if Joe is impeached, and he should be, or they should invoke the 25th Amendment, and remove him because he's not fit to serve, then we get Kamala Harris. People don't like Kamala Harris, although they want to keep putting her out there. Oh, she's good. She's this, she's that. Oh, she's the first Black woman. Kamala Harris is like a sorority girl who's like, oh, I'm the it girl now. She's gallivanting overseas and she's cackling. She's laughing and everyone's laughing with her, but she's empty heels. There's no substance behind her. So let's say we got rid of Joe. Then Kamala comes in. We decide, oops, another mistake. She's no good. Then who do you get? Nancy Pelosi. And Nancy Pelosi will fight until the cows come home to maintain that position. So what am I saying? Well, for the most part, we are screwed until 2024. Now, if we manage to get the houses back in 2022, we can limit the slow down a lot of this craziness and turn back the clock. But we've got to make certain that we get the right people in. Because as long as you have the Lindsey Grahams and the Mitch McConnells, and what is the other guy's name who's running around, Kevin McCarthy? We're doomed because they're all part of the Rhino Brigade. We know that Liz Cheney is a Rhino. We know that Adam Kissinger. We know that Ben Sasse. We know that Mitt Romney, Susan Murkowski. And what is the other lady's? No, not Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. All Rhinos. So how do we clean house? Well, I'll tell you how we clean house. We've got to make certain that the individuals that are running now, a litmus test, so to speak, that support Make America Great Again, that they get elected. And no one who wants to work with AOC plus three. We need to get her out. That's the only way we can turn this thing around. Otherwise, what's happening in Afghanistan will happen here on our soil. What do you say, Heather?
Well, I'm all for conservatives trying to make some headway, get some traction, of course, Rob. I think that we've been living in an upside down world for quite a while, in my opinion. One point I do see differently than you guys is I do think that Afghans who helped us, you know, yes, we should I mean, I'm assuming that there's careful vetting going on, that the U.S. troops that are there know who helped them and who didn't. And I certainly support. I mean, to me, those people clearly are aligned with American values, and to the point where they're willing to risk their lives for it. I really don't know what greater proof there would be.
But Heather, let me ask you this. I'm glad you said that. But do you really think that their value system is the same as ours?
Well, the ones who helped us, Rob, have enough in common with us, or they wouldn't have helped us. Well, they assisted our troops. And now, you know, as anybody knew, I mean, if things had taken a turn at any time, they would be in danger. I mean, I don't think somebody who hates America and doesn't agree with basic human, you know, values or democracy would have taken a job being a translator for U.S. service members in a volatile, violent part of the world where Americans were targets. I mean, why would somebody who, you know, really hates America do that? I mean, they could have gotten themselves killed at any point for doing that. So, I mean, at the very least, I think it would be somebody who wants a job and wants to work and is of positive mindset in that way and doesn't hate America and is brave enough to take a job doing something risky, you know, where terrorists or Taliban and whoever wouldn't, you know, like them. And yeah, I mean, I think we want those kind of people. We want somebody who, you know, isn't just coming here to be on the dole and escape whatever trouble they've gotten into somewhere else. And you know what I mean? People who might be criminals, you know, these people, as far as I can, what I would infer is that they want to work. They want to work with us. They are willing to risk their security and safety in order to do so. I mean, to me, that's, you know, it's pretty self-evident that they are good people.
You know, I would like to think that, you know, I just find it hard to conceptualize it. And I want our viewers to know, we have Heather on. We don't always agree on the same thing. She's a conservative, but you know, we want to show you that we do think differently. It's not groupthink like within the Democrat Party. We can agree to disagree. And I hear what she's saying, that the individuals that worked alongside us, that we would like to think that they appreciate our values. But Heather, I find it really hard. And maybe I'm a skeptic because I look at Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. I know that they're only just two individuals.
But they're not people who were working in the trenches with U.S. troops
but still
in Afghanistan. I mean, they are opportunistic women who are already here who, I don't know, I mean, they were leading decent lives and they didn't, you know, I mean, they didn't have to risk life and limb every day in an unglorious position in the trenches helping U.S. troops under siege. I mean, they are, you know, basically safe and comfy in America and espousing radical views, and they have bodyguards to protect them. And
right, they have bodyguards.
Sections.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Heather. Okay, remember not too long ago, one of our military bases, there was an individual who had became a citizen, was in the military, and he snapped and he killed two servicemen. I think it took place
Fort Hood.
Okay. Now, you would think that he would have said, oh yeah, I'm down with the cause. But something happened and he wasn't.
Well,
now, little was said about it.
That's an interesting example. You're right. But that's an exception, Rob. That guy was obviously nuts. And he was, I hear you, he appeared to have been a fanatical Islamist who became part of the U.S. military.
So how do we know that other individuals that are coming here?
But how often has that happened? I mean, there are plenty of crazy Islamists, but most of them don't join the U.S. military and spend years. I mean, that guy was an exception, and it hasn't been a big problem in the U.S. military. I mean, there are a lot of Muslims who serve, but those who serve don't tend to be Muslim fanatics. I mean, they're, you know, I mean, it's sort of most people who hate the country. I mean, unless they're very expert actors and they're playing this long game.
Well, let's look at the scenario. I hear what you're saying. And we don't have a lot of it happening. But when it does happen, you think about it, it gives you reason to pause. But well, so let's say the individuals that are coming here, like I said, approximately 10,000. And when I looked at the plane, I saw nothing but men. And as I said earlier on, yes, they want out of harm's way. Now, Tony Blinken came out the other day and he said, everyone that wants to leave Afghanistan, we're trying to bring them, we're trying to get them out. And then he said, but there are some that just don't want to leave. Now, I started laughing. I'm like, who wants to stay there in that war-torn country, knowing that the Taliban, ISIS, or Al-Qaeda is going to torture them? Even the terrorists want to leave because they can't leave up. They can't live up to the standard.
Is he talking? But well, I'm sorry. Was he talking? I know, first of all, there are Americans, several thousand Americans still trapped there. So obviously that should be our first priority.
Right. But
and
as
I'm
a
not
whole,
sure if that's what he was talking about.
Right. But just to say it as a whole, he said that everyone that wants to leave, you know, we're going to get them out. And then he said, but there are some that just don't want to leave. No, he didn't say if they were Americans or Afghanistanians, but it doesn't matter.
But
who
is
would
he
want to stay there?
Is he talking when he says everyone? He obviously doesn't mean everyone. Is he talking about those who helped our troops, the translators and people who work closely with us? He's saying he's going to try to help all of those who want to leave from within that group. I guess that's what he's saying.
But I think the other thing is that what we have to realize is that there are certain people, it's not the best. You don't want to be there. But again, I mean, we assume that people want to leave and come here. Case in point, if there's so much racism that's here, why don't those people who are feeling it just leave, go somewhere else? Now, some would say, well, they don't have money. But there are some, like in Hollywood, they have the money. You think about the 60s and the 50s when racism did exist. And a lot of the entertainers moved to England, moved to Paris, because they said, hey, it's a lot better there than here. Since you have this groundswell of people that keep denouncing America, and they really aren't denouncing America, they just don't like Republicans. They hate the fact that there's a possibility that Republicans could gain power again. That's what it is, plain and simple. Because like I said, if you have people at our borders that are coming here, why would you want them to come to a racist place? You know, it's like it's a lie. And if we're so racist, why are you trying to bring all 10,000 Afghanistanians here? Because surely they're going to taste some of that racism. So it's a lie. So again, it goes back to the point, and the media is helping to prop that lie up. And you have people that are unwilling to question, wait a minute, you guys are lying. So it goes back to, like I said, he said that there are some people that just don't want to come here. I doubt that. But that being said, again, the vetting process has to be better than, do you want to stay here? No, I don't. Do you want to come to America? Yes, I do. Do you love America? Yes, I do. Get on the plane. You have a visa. Because that just won't cut it. Because struggle, like I said, will be real when they get here. Go ahead.
Maybe we should have our troops just, you know, point out who helped them. I mean, you know, and tell us this person is my translator. You know, they've been a loyal employee and a helper to the U.S. government. I mean, I think that's who we should ask.
Yeah, but how? You know, but again, how loyal? I can't remember the soldier's name.
These people are, you know, they're risking their lives every day. I mean, that's enough for me. I mean, that's
enough for me.
Well, you know, I don't know what to say. It's a lot more meaningful than, you know, filling out some forms. You know, I mean, what's happening now is people are just essentially walking across our borders who we have nobody to vouch for them. So, you know, we're being told it's inhumane not to throw our doors open to anybody who shows up with a child or children. We can't test DNA. We don't know if they're the real parents of these children. We don't know that they've had any contact with anyone in America. They don't have anybody vouching for their character. And we're being told that we're monstrous if we do not simply open the doors of this country and release people who come, you know, walk across the border with children, and we can't hold them for more than 3 days. So, I mean, to me, that's insanity, because we have no way of knowing who these people are, what their relationship is to the children they're bringing. It's basically a child is a ticket into this country. You know, you can't. So anyway, my understanding is that may be changing, which I think is good. But I just think people who've actually demonstrated a commitment and worked with our troops for months or years in dangerous conditions are, I mean, that's a very strong recommendation in my eyes for their alignment with American values. And the other thing I wanted to mention is when you talked about lies being told, my understanding is that Jen Psaki.
So Heather was telling us about Jen Psaki. She's going to come back and tell us that Jen Psaki, I guess, was lying. And who's going to fact check these people? Heather, you were saying that about Jen Psaki?
She said something. She said that there are no Americans trying to leave Afghanistan. She said something about how there are no Americans trying to leave right now, which is just not true.
And to call in if there are any, that they should get in contact with her by text or by email, that they'll make certain that they're out. You're right. It's not true. Because while she was saying it, you had Americans calling in to other news stations saying, this is a deadly situation that we're in and we're trying to get out and we don't know what to do. This administration is in over its head. We were told that they were going to get the best of the best. And I go back to Tony Blinken. He looks like a very lovely man, very nice person that you would want to sit down with, have a cup of coffee, and just talk life. But unfortunately, as John McCain said some years ago, that he is a dangerous person and that he shouldn't be near the Secretary of State's office. And now we see that. Look at Lloyd Austin. Look at Mark Milley, the most wokest individuals going. And when all this fell down, started coming down, did you see them in front of the camera? Two bumbling idiots not knowing anything about anything. And from what I see, their jobs are safe. Had this been in the Trump administration, the media would have been full throttle, fire, fire, fire. And of course, Trump probably would have acquiesced, or he would have done it himself. Because if you recall, he was going through so many people earlier on during his administration because he didn't know anything about politics or who to pick for what. Joe, a seasoned, over-seasoned politician, how could he have gotten it so wrong with these individuals? My opinion, he was too woke. And woke equals loser.
Yeah, it's been an interesting development to see the White House just go into total spin mode since this disaster in Afghanistan. You've got Kamala Harris, who's been hiding in Vietnam, doing tours over there.
Way overseas.
Yeah, way overseas. Not answering any questions. You've got Joe, who, as Rob said, went 5 hours plus after America got attacked to even respond or say anything to the American people, try and give them any peace of mind or anything like that, like a real leader would do. And then you've got Jen Psaki, who goes up there and just tries to spin everything for Biden. I don't know what that woman's getting paid, but I can tell you it's not enough because she is about the only one in the administration who I ever see talking, because Harris and Biden are constantly in hiding. Biden's called the lid on his presidency rather early. Thank you so much to our guest tonight, Heather Robinson. We appreciate her joining us as always. And thank you all for joining us tonight on another episode of After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com. Remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.